I share with you what comes from my heart. I challenge you that this is the Word of God. It's proven itself to me as a pastor for 20 years and as now as an evangelist. However, as Brother Bob said last night, I have not always believed that. I was 24 years old, and at that time, I would have said it was a book, not even a good written book. I was saved thereafter, and I can remember going to the office where I worked, and a young man being there who was in seminary. He was in his last year of a 3-year program. And I went to this young man who, quote, unquote, was a Baptist, and I said to him, I was saved. And it didn't mean too much to him. He didn't rejoice like the folks at the church where I was saved. He said, well, and that day at lunch, I tried to share with him again a couple of little verses that I'd picked out in a matter of 3 or 4 days. And he smiled at me and he said, well, you must be one of those Baptists from, and he named the church. And I said, yes, I am. That's where I was saved. And he said, well, they have many peculiar ideas when it comes to the Word of God. He said, they take it literally. Well, terminology now is quite simple, but at that time I didn't know what he was saying or what he meant. All I knew that he was suggesting to me that which I accepted by faith, I didn't seek after. A man in a hospital bed next to me just chose to share with me that all of that was a farce, perhaps. So I couldn't wait to leave work. I had a position where I could just walk away, and I went to my pastor into his study. And I asked the pastor if indeed I could believe anything between the covers of this book. Anything. I didn't know this dispensation of innocency from the dispensation of grace. Anything about dispensation. I didn't even know what the word meant, probably. He said to me, Bill, you can believe anything in between the covers of that book, even the index. Maybe tongue in cheek. I said to him then, what is this young man talking about? He said, he didn't know, but he wrote in the fly of my Bible. I was going to bring that Bible, but it's so precious to me, evangelists are historically leaving Bibles everywhere they go. But I did take the time to copy what Duane McNeil, who is at Rochester, Michigan now, a great Bible scholar, I believe, though he may not know too much Greek or Hebrew, but he wrote this in the fly of my Bible. Every word of the Bible is inspired. And he put in capital letters, Amen. So, whenever I hear anything about inspiration, I say Amen, or glory. But I was taught that. He said, don't start seeking after revelation, seek after illumination of the revelation that's already been given. I like that. I'm not sure I understand all this illumination and the questions and answers you can ask our scholars, but listen to me, after the illumination of the revelation that's already been given. We don't need any new revelation. We need the completion of the revelation. Go to the Word of God and say, Lord, give me the illumination of the revelation that has already been given. I accepted that 26 years ago, and I still accept it. So I don't apologize this morning For however elementary you might think what I have to say may be, I have found that most of us who think we're in graduate school, in reality, we're in the junior department somewhere. Just before I resigned my church, I challenged our folks to take a test on Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. Not the sign, the paper. And then we are going to set up our curriculum in our Sunday school hour in regards to the results of this test. And I found that the church that I pastored for nearly 4 years at that particular time were all in the elementary department. Introduction, then, to my message would be found in 2 Timothy 3, and we've read it twice, I believe, this morning, but I want to read it again. We find there, beginning in the 15th verse, and that from a child thou knowest the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Whether I speak to those with degrees in Hebrew or Greek, or to that lay group that I thought we were be speaking to, I say to you today that the Word of God cleanses Bill Randolph. Ephesians 5:26. It cleanses me. It's proven itself 26 years in this blessed book to cleanse me. It's not my preacher's preaching that's going to cleanse me. It's the Word of God. The Word of God strengthens me. It's all right to smile now, folks, and you're not in that classes that we just had. We're in an old tent meeting. I've been in those harbor meetings, and I want you to feel relaxed. But listen to me. The Word of God strengthens me. Acts 20:32. The Word of God gives me faith. Amen? Romans 10:17. Where does my faith come from? The Word of God. If I don't have the completed revelation, then I have no faith. I have no faith. Am I a son of God this morning? I think not. You said, Bill, you read all Scripture. How about the Old Testament? Well, you know, I kind of like Jeremiah 15:16. It gives me joy. Pretty sweet, too. I don't care if that's under this dispensation or that dispensation. I just like it. I preach it. And God honors it. I don't understand it. In spite of me, God honors it. Then the Word of God is a mirror to behold and to reflect. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know, it's only if I get into the Word of God that I'm surprised at what I see. I have two friends that thought that they converted me to the King James about 5 or 6 years ago. These two Bobs here that Dr. Waite has trouble with their last name. And they try to convert me in many areas. But it's only as the Word of God, as I look into the Word of God, am I converted. It's what makes me see what I really am. I find also in the Word of God, it's a lamp that directs my path. Psalm 119:05. It's the bread that strengthens me. Some of you know I've spent a little time in New Orleans, and I like catfish. I'm sorry, fella. I don't care what it looks like, what it smells like. I like it. But it's got to have a slab of onion on each side of it. But I don't live by catfish alone. The bread that strengthened me. Now I'm sick. Well, Bill, you got 10 minutes left. Well, let me just tell you three things. 15. You shouldn't have told me, brother. The Bible establishes me. The Bible establishes me. It is the basis of my assurance. 1 John 5:13. It's the basis of my assurance. Now listen to me. As an evangelist, the blood of Christ, did you hear me? The blood of Christ, did you hear me? The blood of Christ makes me safe. The Word of God makes me sure. But it's the Spirit of God that says that I have it all in this book, so don't argue with me. I have it all. There are Bibles, or books that are called Bibles, that leaves out numerous verses. I said, remember, I know there's no excuse for ignorance. And it's on record in two Bible schools that I flunked Greek twice. So, I know there's no excuse. But listen to me. Try to understand what I'm going to say. I believe the Pharisees were being rebuked, and I believe with all my heart in Mark 7:16, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear, it ought to be in that text. I believe that we ought to listen to what the Word of God says. I also believe in Mark 9:44, Jesus is warning of hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I believe with all my heart that that needs to be in this book. 1 John 5:7, and I've heard some pretty heavy stuff for these little ears of mine, but for 20 years as a pastor, I use that to refute or rebuke those who knocked on my door or on my congregation's door to prove the Trinity. So I like it. I like it. So the Bible, you see, as I see it, is not only that which establishes me, and I'll skip a couple of points, but it also develops me. Yeah, one time I was even less than what I am today. It's difficult to believe that. But the Bible develops me. It's a source of my strength. Acts 20:32, the Word, the Bible, is able to build me up. I thank God for that. Body exercise profit little. You know, it's the Word of God that builds us up. Matthew 4:4 says, I don't live by bread alone, but every word from the mouth of God. Many of these versions or perversions or whatever you want to call them not only leaves out complete verses, and I don't understand it, but they leave out words, statements after statements, some 1,200 words some of them leave out. And you put enough words together, brother, and they say something. Matthew 20:16 is left out. For many is called, but few are chosen. Pretty important words. Mark, the Son of God. I say those are pretty important. God be glorified in Him. I say that's real important, talking about my Lord. Let us not fight against God. Acts 23:9. Romans 15:24. I will come to you. 1 Corinthians. This corruption shall put on incorruption. Galatians. That ye should not obey the truth. Ephesians 3:14. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Many of us have made Him Savior, but listen, as evangelists, I see all the time those who have never made Him Lord. There was a time where most of my conferences were on soul winning, evangelism, But listen to me, how we need revival. In most of my meetings now are on revival. Revival is so desperately needed, and on and on and on and on. We could go with words from every verse or every book of the New Testament. Last point, so we'll have time for questions. I want all of the Word of God. I want all the verses. I want the same verses. Now listen, my granddaddy was a Luther. I never knew him. I never knew my daddy, who was a Luther. But I read in a Bible that they said they believed the Word of God. And their Bible was the same as I have on this pulpit this morning. If it was good enough for them, though they were never a grandfather to me, they deserted my family, what I mean by my family, my mother. I was raised by the state of Michigan. They had the Word of God, and I have the Word of God. And by God's grace, I'm going to do what I can that my grandchildren will have the Word of God. So the last point. I want it all. I want it all. I want every verse. I want every word. Talking about jot and tittle, you ask these men about that stuff. I don't know nothing about that stuff, but I do know I want it all. I want that catfish yesterday at lunchtime was that big, it flabbed that long, and I didn't need it. I really didn't. I didn't need the onions, but I wanted it all, and I licked her all up. And that's the way it is when it comes to the Word of God. I want it all. I want it all. Why? Well, I've given you 2 points. Let me give you one more. Because the Bible teaches me. I may have flunked Greek twice in 2 different schools, but I finally got a little piece of paper saying that God called me to preach. The church ordained me. The Bible teaches me it's a fountain of knowledge. I'm anticipating the pastor of this church, who is at a funeral, I understand, this morning, who's going to speak to the subject of, I don't know any Greek or I don't know any Hebrew, but I know something. I don't know the exact title even, but I'm listening for that message. I'm waiting with anticipation. It's a fountain of knowledge. All Scripture are profitable. Matthew 4:4. Every word. We alluded to that earlier. Done very well. Every word. Matthew 5:18. We alluded to that earlier. One jot or one tittle is no wise. And even the last verse, these theologians, these scholars have stole all my fire, because even the last thing that I was going to close with, to you laymen, we're not talking to them now, but to us laymen, was found there in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. I don't have no trouble with that language, you. Come on. And let him that thirst come. I've been thirsty a couple of times. And whoso, I'm talking about the Word of God. I also get thirsty. The old body does, but how many of us really get thirsty for the Word of God? I wouldn't embarrass the fellow that stayed with me last night at the motel. Kept me up all night with a snoring. Woke me up this morning with the shower running. Turned the light on to get with his... I was really frustrated about those things. But when he turned on the light to read the Word of God, I peeked over there at him, and I thank God that he did. And as I seen him kneel to bed to pray this morning, and he prayed for me, I thank God he did. I thank God he did. And let him that thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein.
I don't know what the Greek text says about it, or I mean the received text. I don't know what Westcott and Hart says about it. But I've read about some of the plagues that Egypt had. You say, you're getting things all mixed up, Bill. Well, excuse my ignorance. Excuse my ignorance. But I'm just fool enough to believe that we're seeing some of these things come to pass. I think we're reaping what we've sown. You preach against television? No, but I talk a little bit about them. Are you preaching against these soap operas? No, but I talk a little bit about them in the churches. You preach against all those versions? No, but I talk a little about them in those churches. You see, fellas, you may not agree with my approach to this, but I'm convinced that most pastors, most preachers, most bishops, most leaders, when it comes to some of this, are in elementary school, not in graduate school. And if we don't have the completed revelation, and if we can't trust this book, my granddaddy was cheated. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not trying to be a comedian here today. It was my job as an evangelist to be a little lighthearted before the question and answer time, to give you time to think of some good, solid questions to ask these men. But I want to ask you a question. How often in your study do you read, and there's a little chicken track there, or a little circle there, and in a footnote, do you skip over the footnote and go on? We all do it. And when we start taking the Word of God, I believe, and putting it in the footnotes, then revising it next week or next year. See, I was a champagne. I got on the bandwagon on most of these versions. I really did. Because I thought it was updating the language, and remember, my ignorance. But listen to me. I've got 3 different New King James Bible laying on my desk at home. They had to change them in, 4 or 5 years now? 3 times. I don't want something like that. I believe this word was settled when it was inspired by the Word of God. I believe it's been preserved, and I don't know a lot of the terms, and I don't know a lot of the other things, but I know I've seen over the years, and forgive me, you know, evangelists got to brag before they leave. I've seen literally hundreds of people saved, and they become new creations in Christ. I see it just about every church that we go to. And I hope someday that they don't discover something else, to find that something else is wrong. And that all the time the Campbellites or this bunch or that bunch was right and we were wrong. And there was more to getting saved than just saying, Jesus, I love you. Forgive me my sin. Come into my heart. God bless you.